Psalm 147. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant to sing. It is pleasant, and his praise is beautiful. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. Great is the Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked down to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise on the harp to your God, to our God, who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepares the rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow on the mountains. He gives to the beasts its food and to the young ravens that cry. He does not delight in the strength of horses. He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him and those who hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion, for he has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your children within you. He makes peace in your borders. He fills you with the finest wheat. He sends out his commands to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts out his hail like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sends out his word, and it melts them. He causes his wind to blow, and the waters flow. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and his judgments to Israel. He has not dealt with any nation. He has not dealt thus with any nation, and as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise the Lord. Healing broken hearts. Heartbreaks happen. It happens a lot. Heartbreaks hurt. They hurt a lot. Maybe your first heartbreak happened when your dog or cat or other pet died. They may have been your first heartbreak, but not the last, and not the worst. A child cries, "But Mommy, why do you have to get divorced? Why can't you and Daddy stay together?" As the marriage breaks, the child's heart breaks, and the thoughts come, "If only I'd been a better kid. Maybe Mommy and Daddy would have stayed together." A girl falls in love with a boy and is thrilled when he asks her out on a date. They really seem to hit it off. After a few dates, he tells her how special she is, and he even says that he loves her. She says that she loves him too. Then he says that if they really love each other, they should prove it by going all the way. They do. Their dating and sexual involvement lasts for a few months. And then one day, he tells her, it would be best if they broke up. A week later, she sees him with another girl, and it breaks her heart. A mother and a father stand in the waiting room, gasping, "No, doctor, not leukemia. It can't be. Not our child. There must be a mistake. Leukemia? There must be something you can do." The telephone rings, and the voice on the other end tells you that someone dear to you has been suddenly killed. Heartbreak is awful. The lump in your throat, the feeling, sick feeling in your stomach, the way your mind spins around and around and keeps going back to the same thoughts, the numbness, the horrible feelings that nothing matters, that nothing will ever be the same again, the feeling of being alone with no one else who quite understands what you're going through or how you feel. Heartbreaks happen in different ways. Your heart may break under the blows being suffered right now, or your heart may break under the weight of past memories that go back to things that you've done that you've never been able to deal with. Memories of being mistreated, molested by someone you trusted, can leave you feeling rotten and unwilling to trust anyone. Memories of evil things you yourself have done can crush you with guilt and regret. Where can we find healing for broken hearts? Who can make our shattered spirits whole again? Many different things can break our hearts, but only one thing can restore them again, the touch of the living God. The Bible says in Psalm 147, verse 3, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Psalm 34, verse 18 says, The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Those are wonderful words, but maybe they seem a little hollow to you. Maybe you have a hard time believing anybody can pick you up and put you back together, even God. Maybe you have your doubts about it, but once you know what God is really like and grasp the way He works, the healings can begin. You will find in the Lord all that you need. Therefore, we develop from Scripture two themes: who God is and how God heals. The first theme, who God is. Who is God? From Psalm 147, the Lord is the God of mind-boggling power, and at the same time, He is the God of tender love and compassion. Psalm 147 says, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up the wound. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. The Lord is the God of galaxies and broken hearts. He controls outer space and yet concerns Himself with the inner space of brokenhearted people. But maybe you're thinking, that sounds good, but I don't know. I still feel like God is far away. He's forgotten all about me. Sometimes a few verses from the Bible just don't seem like enough. They seem to ring hollow and don't ease the pain. Maybe you've heard great sounding statements from the Bible before, but they have left you unmoved. If so, you're not the only one to feel that way. In Isaiah chapter 49, the Bible records a message in which God promises to rescue and restore His people. God starts by saying, In the time of my favor, I will answer you. In the day of salvation, I will help you. Verse 8. He goes on to speak of the great thing that He will do for them. After that rousing message, there is a call to sing a hymn. Shout for joy, O heavens, rejoice, O earth, burst into song, O mountains, for the Lord comforts His people and will have compassion on His afflicted ones. Verse 13. How do the people react? Do they shout for joy? Do they feel God's comfort and compassion? Far from it. They say, The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Verse 14. The people have been through so much, their lives have been so shattered, their hearts are so broken, that they keep thinking that God is far away, that He is not really going to help them. Maybe you know that feeling. Why is it that we have such a hard time trusting that God will do what He says He will do? Part of the reason is that we experience many bad things, and when those experiences seem like they're dominating the realities of our lives, we don't believe that anything can be different. We don't believe that God is greater than our circumstances. At that point, we need to realize again that the God of galaxies is strong, far stronger than any of the bad things in our lives. There is another reason that we often have a hard time trusting God. We have a hard time trusting anybody. If you've been deeply hurt by people close to you, you learn not to trust others or to let them in too close. If your mom is hooked on alcohol or drugs, if she makes all sorts of promises and then breaks them just when you need her most, you learn not to believe her promises. So why should you believe God's promises? If you grow up counting on your dad and then he divorces your mom and you hardly ever see him again, it breaks your heart. If you can't count on your father here on earth, how can you count on your father in heaven? Being able to trust our parents is so important that when they fail, it's hard to trust anybody, even God. No matter what God says, no matter how good it sounds, we just say, the Lord has forsaken me, the Lord has forgotten me. At that point, we need to hear what God says in Isaiah 49. He says, can a mother forget her baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Not likely. But sometimes it happens. However, God says, though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have graven you on the palms of my hands. Verses 15 and 16. If you are one of God's people, God loves you so much that he tattoos you on the palms of his hands. He can't possibly forget you. If you don't think that you can trust God, think again. Just look at the imprints of the palms of Jesus' hands, the nail wounds that have your name written on them. If you want to get beyond your hurts and your broken heart, then don't picture God merely in terms of the people you know. If you think God is somehow like the people who abuse you and betray you, then of course you won't trust him. But the Lord of the Bible says, Isaiah 11 verse 9, I am God and not man, the Holy One among you. In Numbers 23:19, he says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? People are infected with evil, but God is holy. People break promises, but God keeps his promises. So don't get your picture of God from looking at the people around you. There is only one person you can look at to get a perfect picture of what God is like, and that person is Jesus. In Jesus, God became man. In Jesus, we see just how far God is willing to heal broken hearts. God keeps his promises, even if it costs him everything. Jesus would rather die than abandon his people. Who is God? He is the one who says, I live in a high and holy place, but also with him who is contrite and lowly in heart, to revive the spirit of the lowly and revive the heart of the contrite. Isaiah 57:15. Who is God? He is the one who is infinitely beyond you and yet closer to you than your own skin. The Lord of galaxies and of broken hearts. The one who is both strong and loving, the one who is unlike anybody you know, and yet who has become like you in Jesus and feels your sorrow. This Lord Jesus comes to you now with nail prints in his hands and resurrection glory in his face, and he promises to bind up the brokenhearted. That's who God is. The second theme, how God heals. Now that we have seen who God is, let's think about how God heals. What does God do to make our broken hearts whole again? Let's think about our deepest needs. We all need three things to experience health and wholeness. The New Testament refers to a triad of virtues that we need. Paul summarizes in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, "Now abide faith, hope, love, these three." God heals broken hearts by three abiding realities. To state this another way, we need a sturdy story, faith, promising possibilities, hope, and renewed relationships, love. Our first great need is for a sturdy story. The story you and I believe about ourselves shapes our identity, your idea of who you are. Let me ask you, who are you? You may think of yourself as a person who is married to so-and-so, or the person with such and such a career, or the parent of this and that child, but who are you, really? Who are you if your mate dies or leaves you? Who are you if your career falls apart? Who are you if your children move out of the house or turn against you? Or maybe you're a victim of abuse. You may have moods that make you totally different from one day to the next. Some people have developed multiple personalities to cope with abuse. Who are you? Are you just a bundle of moods bouncing from day to day and from one event to the next? Or is there a story that can help you understand your world and establish your own identity? Whether you've been through a major change in your life, or you're dealing with the after effects of abuse, or you're trying to figure out who you are and where you fit into this world, you need a sturdy story, and God gives you one. In the Bible, God gives you a story that shows the big picture, and faith in God gives you a place in that story. God gives us the true story of everything that comes. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God gives us the true story of who we are as human beings. We are not accidents. We are not junk. God made us in His image and designed us for eternity. God gives us the true story of why so many things go wrong. Human sin has brought dreadful evil and devastating damage and death into God's creation and into our own lives. But that's not the end of the story. God also gives us the true story of how He set out to rescue us from ruin. He gives us the true story of His love and His mighty acts among His people throughout history. He gives us the true story of His mighty action in the death and resurrection of Jesus. He gives us the true story of the church, the family of God. He gives us a happy ending to the story, a heavenly home for all who belong to His family. And by faith, that story becomes your story. This is the only story big enough and strong enough and sure enough to build your life on. If you don't have a story that makes sense of the world and of your life, you will feel confused, unsure, and fragmented. You need the gospel story. You can't write your own story. You need to access the story that God has written. You can't define your own character. You need the character God has chosen for you. God gives you all that when He gives you the gift of faith in the true story revealed in the Bible. Through faith, God gives you the confidence that your story is part of His grand story and plan to work all things for the good of those who love Him. Your parents, your career, your spouse, your children all have a place in your story, but they are not the whole story. Your friends and failures and heartbreaks have a place in the unfolding of your story, but they don't get the last word. God does. Believe the story God gives you in the Bible. trust the Lord Jesus as the main character in your story, even when many aspects of life are changing, even when things happen that you can't understand, even when your very personality is shaken, faith provides a sturdy story to help you make sense of life and give you an identity and a purpose. The bigger your troubles have been, the more God's power shines forth in giving you victory. The worse your sins have been, the more God's mercy is magnified when He forgives and transforms you. Whatever chapters have already been written, Christ can make your story a good one. Count on it. You need a sturdy story, or you need faith. That brings us to the second thing that we need: promising possibilities. We need a future. We need to expect the best. In other words, we need hope. When you've been through a horrible trauma or a tragic loss, you may feel like you'll never be happy again. Counseling centers are full of people who feel only darkness and depression and despair, who feel they have no future. How does God meet this need? God gives us promising possibilities. Possibilities based on His promises and not on our immediate circumstances. This doesn't mean that we won't have our share of sadness. We will still have trouble. We will still cry because we are still living in a broken world. Jesus says, "In this world you will have trouble." He doesn't say you may have trouble. He says you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. John 16:33. The Bible says in Psalm 34:18-19, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all." God promises to rescue His people and to give a brighter future. After a time of grief, loss, and devastation, God gives new energy and a fresh sense that life is worth living. And often these renewals of hope are just a small taste of a greater renewal to come. The Lord promises a grand future for His people, when every tear will be wiped away and all things will be made new. Jesus' resurrection is proof that nothing can stop God from keeping His promises. Even death itself can't destroy the future God has in mind for His people. No matter how dark your situation, no matter how final it seems, the God of resurrection comes to you with promising possibilities, with the gift of hope that can't be quenched. The Bible says in Romans 8:18, "Our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." God's gift of hope doesn't always take away our sadness right away, but it does help us to see a brighter future. You need promising possibilities. You need hope. A third need we all have is renewed relationships. Or to express it another way, we need love. It's an awful thing to be alone, to be close to nobody, to have no one who understands you. One reason why people in society go to professional therapists is that they don't have any real friends they can trust with their hurts and their deepest secrets. Many of these people would never need a paid professional if they had someone they could trust to sit down, to listen to them, and to care about them. The therapist often serves as the function of a paid friend, a person in your life who takes time to listen to you and to care. Therapy often fills a gap left by the lack of relationships, and a good deal of therapy is devoted to discovering what damaged relationships may lie at the root of a person's problems. When you're carrying a load of guilt over something you've done in the past, or some sin that you keep doing, It spoils your relationship with God and poisons your relationship with others. When you're carrying around resentment over the way someone else treated you, it spoils your relationship and eats at your insides and threatens to destroy you. How can you get beyond these bad things that you've done? How can you get beyond the bad things that have been done to you? How can shattered relationships be restored that you can live in love? The only answer is the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus died to take away the sins of the world and to dispose of the garbage that pollutes our relationships. The cross is where God dumps all the garbage that exists in your relationship to Him. And the cross is also where you find the need to dump all the garbage that exists in your relationship to others. The cross is the place of forgiveness, the place to dump all of your guilt and all of your resentment. Much of our heartbreak isn't due to something that just happened to us, but it often involves something we've done ourselves. For example, if you're single looking for love, and you go to bed with someone who then dumps you, you have been sinned against by that person, but you have also sinned against yourself by not saving yourself for marriage as God commands. You can't just blame the person who dumped you. You also need to take responsibility for yourself and for your sins. That can be hard. Often we are too proud, too angry, too afraid to come clean. But Jesus changes all that. He paid the price to restore and renew your relationship with God. You don't have to bring anything to God except yourself and your guilt, your broken heart. Psalm 51, verse 17 says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." God's love sets you free from the sin of self-righteousness and gives you grace to admit your sins and to ask forgiveness, knowing that God will accept you in Christ. God's love also sets you free from the sin of self-protection, of never daring to love too deeply or to risk being hurt, and gives you grace to let go of resentment and fear and dare to love again. What a healing takes place when God sets you free from guilt to enjoy His love again. And what a healing takes place when God sets you free from resentment and empowers you to love others and to experience their love. Restored relationships are God's greatest gift of all, the gift of love. You need restored relationships, or you need love. Once God begins healing your broken heart, He also uses you to heal others. It's easy to feel sorry for yourself, to think only of your own pain, but once God begins to heal you, you look beyond yourself to the needs of others. They too need a sturdy story, and you can share your faith. They too need promising possibilities, and you can share your hope. They too need renewed relationships, and you can share the love that flows from God. Faith, hope, and love. This is God's remedy for shattered spirits. As Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, "It is your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ." This is the healing touch of the God of galaxies and of broken hearts, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's conclude with a contemporary poem that summarizes Psalm 147, "The God Who Heals Broken Hearts." Praise the Lord! How good it is to sing praise to God, our Lord, the Heavenly King. It is fitting, it is only right, to praise the One who heals and gives us light. Great our Lord, and mighty in his power. He counts the stars and waters with a shower. Great our Lord, his thoughts are beyond measure. He lifts the humble and counts them as his treasure. The Lord declares his word to his elect. None are so blessed, no one else his rules respect. The Lord delights in those who know and fear him. His unfailing love is what we have to hope in. Healing broken hearts. Lord God, we gather before you in the differences of our lives. There are some people whom this may not seem to apply right away. And yet you are the God in the midst of the calamities of life who brings the word of God that either we might be restored in the disasters that have befallen us or be prepared for the troubles that will come or be of proper counselors to those who are afflicted. So give to us humility. Give to us an understanding of your spirit. Help us to see who you are, a God who is great and majestic, who names the stars, counts them all, rules them and governs them with great power and might, and yet who also knows the inner conflicts of our hearts. And I plead, Lord God, especially for those who are suffering now, who do not know that you have not forgotten them or forsaken them, who seem to be all alone and disturbed, that you would bring to mind by your Spirit these scripture passages to teach them that you are not only the God of the galaxies, but also the God of broken hearts, and can restore them by faith, hope, and love. Teach us these days to abide in your word, and grant us your grace and your healing. We plead in Jesus' name. Amen.